let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer.
All right, let's pray.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We are thankful, Lord, for those who are here, those who have just come in. Thank you, Father, for those who may still be on their way. We pray, Father, for those who are not doing well, several we've heard already that are under the weather. We pray for them, for their full recovery in due time.
Be with the fevers, be with the colds, be with the illnesses. Lord, we think of those traveling. We do think of Pastor Jim Thomas and Pastor Delaney as well. He's away from his church family this morning. We pray, Father, for these two men, and not just them, but others in Haiti and the ministry there, Pastor Mark. And we pray that you continue to bless that work, and pray for the time in the Word of God this morning and this day. Father, we pray that you'll comfort them as you comfort us, as you comfort others in the body of Christ. Many things in which to praise you and thank you for. This past week, the way you cared for us and watched over us, and the way that you met our every need as you saw fit, Lord. And we pray, Lord, now for the Bob Sklar as it continues. We thank you for the opening exercises already. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you even when we cannot trace. And that's your will for us. Your perfect will is to rely upon you and to praise you and to thank you even in the midst of difficulties. Lord, it reflects the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray for each of the classes. We think of Jason as he ministers to the young people, the teenagers specifically. We pray, Father, for Mrs. Huey as she ministers to the little ones. Lord, we thank Father of Tamara and Robert as they minister to the young ladies and the young men, respectively. Lord, we pray for our time now. Again, as we continue on this topic of parenting and the responsibility that you have, your will for our children, Lord. Help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us to follow you. Again, we do pray, Lord, for those who are making their way now to the services, that you be with them. Give them safety. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Good morning. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to mention some points found within a book titled Just Friends, Guarding Your Heart for a Wonderful Someday. And this was written by a Michael Ray and a Carrie Schmidt. And again, I don't know a whole lot about the authors, but I read through this book and I would highly recommend it. It's addressed specifically to young people, to teenagers, and I think it would be very helpful for parents to read it and for their teens. Obviously, with any human work like this, you need to take what's said and compare it with Scripture. You make sure that you side with the Bible over man, any way in which men or preachers or whomever it may be depart from the truth and it not be the will of God. Certainly, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct and not man. But a very helpful scriptural viewpoint, I believe. And so this is a reminder to our young people that God is preparing them. We've stressed that for a number of weeks now. Remember, God is preparing them. And God, of course, is doing a work in us. We'll see that in a moment as well. But God is preparing them. Young people, we know they're still developing. Mentally, we're told that the frontal lobe, the brain, is still developing, and it doesn't reach that completion typically until, I believe, it's in the early 20s, maybe late teens. But it's a process. That's a physical thing, of course, a mental thing. Of course, they're developing physically, emotionally, I trust spiritually as well. And so God has a work for them now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at some familiar words. We'll begin in verse 9. Paul says here, writing to these Corinthians, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And that's true. This is not something that man in and of himself seek after. It's not something that we as lost, as totally depraved beings in and of ourselves, apart from the working of the Holy Spirit of God, seek after and know and desire? Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's how these things are revealed. They're revealed to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, by the Holy Spirit of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Very basic reminders Paul's given them. Remember what this church is claiming, the Corinthians. They are claiming to be spiritual. Hold your place here. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. Come right back to where we are. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as to what? As to carnal. That's right. As unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2 says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as men? You're walking the course of this world, of the God of this age. And of course the divisions there are carnal divisions. 1 Corinthians, let's go back now to chapter 2. And verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of what? Of the world. We have not received the spirit of the world. And this word here is cosmos, the word for world. But as Christians, we've received the Spirit of God, the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The world is offering its philosophies, its things, and God is saying, here's my way, here are my teachings, here's what I desire for your life. Something not only do our children need, but us as parents, we need as well. Verse 13, which things also we speak, Paul says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Notice the contrast here. Paul says, we're not giving it to you the same way in which those of this world. And again, when you understand the influence that was heavy upon this testimony at Corinth, Paul likens it to the teachings of this age, the teachings of the men of this age. Now, those false teachers weren't coming around saying, we're teaching you Satan's philosophies, we're teaching you lies, we're teaching you about the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh, we're teaching you of carnality, we're teaching you and we're planting seeds that are going to stir up your flesh. They weren't going around saying those things, just the opposite. They were going around telling them, they were teaching them the precious truths of God and the freedom and the liberty that you can have in Christ. And of course, it was a lie. It was a counterfeit, one of Satan's many counterfeits. In some cases, when it was coming from the Judaizers, they were in that manner lifting up the flesh and the value of humanity, which of course we know is impossible. And so back to verse 13, which things also we speak not in the world's not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can ye know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Ever wondered why maybe you've had an opportunity to counsel people? People that are going through some very difficult times, perhaps, and just nothing's working out for them, or just they're depressed, or they're being afflicted, and it's not necessarily suffering for righteousness' sake, but it's self-imposed. And so you take the Word of God, you spend time with them in prayer, sometimes they might even open up to you, and so you try to discern what's going on in their lives, and then you give them the truths of God's Word. You know those things will help them, and it's going to be a painful process because there's, in many cases, in those situations, there has to be an admittance of guilt. There has to be an admittance of wrongdoing and an acknowledgement of sin. And they're going to have a change of mind. They're going to have to confess to the Lord. And maybe even to some others. God can restore them, and God wants to. But not always, or not often, it may seem, does that counsel fall on good ground. No, just the opposite. It is foolishness unto them. They get upset. They get offended. They get angry. And so that's most of what is happening in this world. But the Bible says that's what's going to happen. That, you know, Paul says the... In fact, let's go there real quick. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll come right back. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous day or times shall come. Last days of the church. Last times of the church. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And there it is. We'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, they'll have a form of godliness. Look at that, verse 5. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. And this is a description of what describes and details the day in which we live, child of God. Back to 1 Corinthians 2. And so Paul says, the natural man receiveth not, verse 14, not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This word natural in the Greek, it means the sensual nature with its subjection to appetite and passion. Okay? That's what that term means. The exegetical dictionary of the New Testament translates this earthly or worldly. The worldly man. We could justify saying it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the worldly man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The fleshly or the earthly man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Again, this word is the sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion. Again, translated with the meaning of earthly or worldly. The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness unto the carnally minded person. They can't see clearly, they can't think clearly, and therefore they don't act right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Go ahead to verse 15 and 16. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What does society say to us today? It's not new. They say, judge not, right? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Judy. You looking for the class? We switched it on you. It's over here today. Did you see the food, though? Is there some food in that other class? Some decorations? You can bring us some if you want. All right. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. The spiritual, what does the spiritual man do? He judgeth all things. But I thought the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. Doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 7? It does. But in that passage in Matthew chapter 7, what is Christ talking about? He's talking about wrong judgment. He's talking about hypocritical judgment. Well, let's go there. We'll come right back to 1 Corinthians. Go to Matthew 7 just for a second. Matthew 7. There it is. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. And so our new evangelical friends, they love this verse, because when the fundamentalist shows them in love the Word of God, trying to help them, they get upset. When we do that, we're not lifting ourselves up as though we are something special, as though we are holier than thou, that we have all the answers. Not at all. We're simply doing what God says. We're not having any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we're rather reproving them. We want to have a genuine concern and a love for them. Many of these people profess the name of Christ. Many of them are saved. They're Christians, and they're caught up in compromise, and we want to help them. We want to rescue them out of that snare. Some of those folks don't know Christ at all, and so we give them the gospel, the good news. But God knows their hearts, as He knows our hearts. Judge not that ye be not judged. What is the Lord talking about? Look at verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. This is the simple principle which we'll see in Galatians in just a moment of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. You see, this is judgment that is hypocritical. It is a judgment that looks down upon others when you're practicing the same thing. Look at verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Mote there is a small twig. But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. That's a big piece of wood. It's a big piece. Some have said it's a big piece of timber. And it's very a clear picture. It's such a contrast. But this is what the Lord is teaching. Look at verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. There it is. Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6. By the way, in verse 5, the Lord does not say, don't go and try to help others. He says, do so, but first take care of the sin in your own life. Then you can judge. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Our young people need to understand that God is working on them. He's preparing them for that someday. Okay, as we zero in now on that topic of dating and relationships, they need to understand that the wisdom of this world is not of God. And they need to understand, verse 15, that they are to be a discerner. They are to judge, spiritually judge all things. If they themselves are spiritual, then that's what they'll do. Notice it goes on to say, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's exactly what our young people need. The word judgeth there in 1 Corinthians 2:15, it means to determine the excellence or defects of any person or thing. Think about that. Those who are spiritual, God will enable them to determine, to judge, to determine the excellence or the defects of any person or thing. It means to estimate. It means to determine. To determine. Everything that our young people do today, again, they have to remember, is a preparation for them in their future. And God has given them the tools to grow properly. It doesn't mean they're not going to make bad choices. It doesn't mean they're not going to sin. But we need to... We need, as parents, as pastors, as teachers, as examples, we need to be, again, Christ-like before them. We're familiar with Psalm 1, right? Let's go there real quick, please. The first Psalm. In verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Kind of back to one of our earliest points, our children having a personal relationship right with the Lord, our children, encouraging our children to have their devotions, to have their quiet time with Christ, with the Lord, as they pray, as they study. Very important that they have that time. And as parents, as we're observing, and they're going through the day or days or weeks. Hopefully it's not going that long. And they're, from what we can tell, they're giving no time or little time to the things of the Lord, other than when they have to come to church with us, or of course when they're doing their homework and that, which is a big part of their time, their studies. All that's important. All that is part of what God has for them for this day. It's great to tell the students and remind them that your job is to be a student. That's your occupation. That's the job that God has given you. And you ought to be the best student unto the Lord that you can be. But they need to be having time with the Lord spiritually. They need to be spending time in His Word, even from a young age. Encourage even the youngest ones to spend time reading the Bible. Help them. I've shared with you the example of a dear friend of mine where he created a little devotional plan that was suitable for his son, who I think at the time was 7 or so. And then the opportunity to go over it with them to see how they're doing. But make sure they're having that time, that walk with the Lord. Otherwise, they're going through the motions. They're not being prepared the way they should. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Notice, this doesn't happen overnight. This is a process. We talked about that for a few weeks there. We're to exercise ourselves unto or toward godliness. It's a discipline. It's a lifelong process. His leaf also shall not wither, verse 3. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Verse 6 tells us there are two ways. There are the ways of the godly, and there are the ways of the ungodly. That Hebrew word way there means path. There is a godly path and there is an ungodly path. You'll find that throughout the book of Proverbs, those two paths mentioned many times. And so God says that if they will choose the right path, and now relating it to the children, to our kids, if they choose the right friends, for example, hang out in the right crowd, plant themselves in His Word, then one day, in the right season, they will bear fruit. Go now to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians 6. We've looked at this passage in the course of our study. Mentioned it several times as well. But in Galatians chapter 6, we have that principle of sowing and reaping, which we find throughout the Scriptures. In verse 7, Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's true. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, the sowing, the planting of seeds, the reaping, the harvesting the fruit of what they planted, whether it be good or bad. Now, in this relationship of the truth about sowing and reaping, think about this. Think about these basic points. Harvest always comes. Harvest always comes. There's no stopping the harvest. It's going to come. Harvest always requires a wait. It's true. Especially when you're sowing good seed. Harvest requires much patience and continuance, talking about the good harvesting. Harvest always reflects the seed, the type of seed sown. We just read that, didn't we? You sow good seed, you'll reap, you'll bear good fruit. Sow bad seed, you will bear bad fruit. You'll bear corruption, destruction. Harvest also involves outside forces. Think about it. The effect that the sun and the rain have upon the farmer's seed. And now with the lives of our young people. Do their type of friends, the friends that they choose, have an effect upon them? Sure, they do. How about other influences of this age? How about the music choices, their entertainment choices, their their procrastination, their desire just to put off and put off and put off that which they're supposed to do. It's easily seen in school, those students that habitually don't do their homework, that habitually there's always an excuse. It reflects in their grades, obviously, but it reflects in other areas of their life. It doesn't take long before that trickle-down effect, that spiral decline. It's not until they get those things corrected, and preferably the right way and for the right reason. But it's a reflection of their, at the end of the day, it's a reflection of their relationship or perhaps lack of relationship with Christ. And so, as parents, we need to remind our children that everything that they are doing right now, everything that they are doing right now is all about preparing them for God's future for their lives. And that's a fact. It's hard to see that in the day-to-day operation of things. And we need to be wise in the way we deliver that message and the consistency of that message, not just with our lips, but with our lives as parents. We've talked about that before. While we're in Galatians chapter 6, notice verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the same is true for our young people. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. This is a tremendous means of encouragement for the Christian. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing. What's that? Paul is very confident of this. That he, which hath begun a good work in you. Who's the he? Yes, God Almighty. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. The word perform means perfect, means complete. He will perfect it. He will complete it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's a fact. For the believer, that's going to happen. Now, in a practical manner, that practical area of sanctification, we can definitely hinder that work. If that wasn't the case, then why have all these epistles? Why have all these commands? Why have all these admonishments? Well, no, we know. We know that we can hinder that process. And what that's going to look like for the true Christian, not loss of salvation, but loss of reward in a time of shame at the bema seat of Christ. It's a time of reckoning, a time of accountability for all Christians. But we also have many warnings in Scripture of those habitual practicers of evil. There always is placed a question mark over them concerning their conversion, whether or not they've truly been saved to begin with. It's not our good works that save us. No, not at all. It's by grace through faith. But the evidence, the fruit, will bear. And that's what Paul says in Galatians 6:9. When he's referencing there the evil corruption versus the bearing fruit unto life eternal life. He's talking about evidences of the child of God and evidences of the child of Satan. John, the Apostle John, does the same thing in his third chapter of his epistle. We've been going through that on Wednesday nights. It doesn't mean there aren't carnal Christians. We just looked at examples of that back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There are believers who will be ashamed at the bema seat. They won't hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But it's not the will of God for their lives. Think about the chart that's kind of pictured here for us. So truthfulness. And what will they reap? Trust. You take a child who sows lies, and they're maybe the habitual liar, and we catch them in lies time and time again, then as parents, we're going to extend them trust? No. I mean, they have forsaken that. Doesn't mean there's not restoration, but there's a painful process. There's a painful process. How about showing a surrendered will today? God will often repay that in other relationships through commitment and through trust and through good times ahead. How about this one? Sowing purity. Today, young people choosing to be pure and remain loyal to Christ, how that will look for them, how God will reap benefits and blessings upon their future relationships. Again, it does not mean there's not forgiveness for failure, but the principle is the same nonetheless. There's going to be hard times in store for those who forsake the clear commands of God's Word. Sowing, loving Christ now, what will the future look like? Sowing selflessness, what will they reap? Again, we need to encourage our teenagers, and not just our teens, as we deal with that time in their life, like we've been focusing upon primarily, when things change, things begin to change. And we need to encourage them to stay focused on the goal, and Christ is the goal. They need to be committed to allowing God to conform them to His image. They need to trust Him that the right person at the right time will come. Today, my opinion, in their high school years, is not the time for them to find and be seeking after that right person for their future. It's not the time. God is preparing them. I'm not saying that that person is not in their life already. He or she could be. Very probably, they're not. They're going to, tends to work out that that person is somewhere far away. And I trust as parents, we're praying for that person we haven't maybe even ever met yet, right? For our young men, praying for that godly wife, that God would keep her, his future wife. And for our ladies, their future husband, that God would keep them, that God would be with them. That blew my mind when I began in college. I met Tamara and began dating her. She said that from a young girl, she remembers her mother praying for the very one that she would marry. And then it taught Tamara to pray for that one that God had for her. So here, talking about grace, talking about the goodness of God, I was being prayed for all those years I was even saved. And yet, two people were praying for me. And it's a tremendous joy. It's a tremendous joy. But they need to remember that they have to be focused on the goal. Because as we continue in this, again, more specifically regarding that dating arena, we have to remember that Satan's desire is to prevent, number one, that proper relationship from happening. He wants other substitutes to be put in its place. He wants to damage. He wants to ruin testimonies, destroy lives. And he's busy aggressively attacking the lives of our young people. We don't have to fear as parents. One last reference, and we won't spend much time here, but kind of give you a little sampling of what we'll look at next Sunday, Lord willing. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And notice verse number 16. We have a warning here. Hebrews 12, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. And then we have the example of Esau. As Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. How much did Esau give up just for the satisfaction of his flesh? Just for the satisfaction of his stomach? For that one moment? For that one moment to fulfill his desire? To fulfill his craving? Verse 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And so, there's another principle of sowing and reaping. We'll talk about Esau and about this principle of forsaking the will of God for the child of God's life, and in particular for our young people. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for these reminders. We're thankful, Lord, for these lessons. We need you, Lord. We need you as parents, Father. We need the mind of Christ. We need to pray the way we should. Forgive us for the many times we don't, Lord. We need to live the way we should, too, by your grace. And Lord, we are not in fear, not at all. We are the sons of God. And Lord, we also know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And Father, our children are gifts from you. They belong to you. And so, Lord, we are so thankful that we can cast them unto you and trust you, Father, to meet their every need. Help us to be the vessels that you've called us to be as parents, to be the proper example, even as grandparents, to our young people. And Lord, we'll give you the thanks in advance for what you're going to continue to do. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.